Welcome to the Hope Community Sunday Podcast for the weekend of June 21, Father's Day, and week 3 of our study of the Old Testament prophetic book, Ezekiel. I'm Dan Nygaard. Last week, we examined Ezekiel's first prophecy. In that prophecy, God commanded Ezekiel to build a model of Jerusalem under siege and prophesy the destruction of the people of Jerusalem. Ezekiel's first prophecy included God's command to the prophet Ezekiel that he spend 13 months laying exclusively on his left side out in public, then another 40 days laying exclusively on his right side, again out in public. The prophet Ezekiel was commanded by God to engage in street theatrics to put on display God's judgment upon the people of Jerusalem. Last week, I failed to include one other element of God's command to the prophet Ezekiel. The prophet was to sharpen a sword and shave his head and his beard. Then Ezekiel was to weigh out the hair, divide it into thirds, burn up one third of his hair out in public in a street theater prophecy, chop up a second third of the hair from his head and his beard, and throw the final third of the hair from his head and his beard, throw it to the wind, scatter it to the wind. But before doing that, the prophet Ezekiel was supposed to take just a few strands of his own hair and tuck it in the folds of his cloaks. These few strands of hair symbolized the remnant of Israel, the remnant of Israel that would return from Babylonian exile to rebuild Jerusalem and the temple in Jerusalem. Last Sunday during Q&A, a question came up. It's a little confusion about how could Jerusalem be conquered and then conquered again. So, a quick history lesson, a quick timeline of the three defeats of the southern kingdom of Judah, whose capital was Jerusalem. Hundreds of years earlier, after the reign of Solomon, the Empire of Israel divided north and south. The northern tribes identified as Israel. The southern tribes, whose dominant tribe was the tribe of Judah, the tribe of King David, the southern tribes identified as Judah. Their capital was Jerusalem. After the empire divided north and south, many of the most religious people of the northern tribes migrated south and became part of the southern kingdom of Judah with the capital of Jerusalem. Some 150 or so years prior to the time we are looking at right now, the Assyrian Empire decimated the northern kingdom of Israel. Those are now known, popularly known as the Lost Tribes of Israel. And although the Assyrian Empire laid siege to Jerusalem, God miraculously intervened and saved Jerusalem from being conquered by Assyria. 150 years later, the Babylonian Empire comes and lays siege to Jerusalem. At this time, God does not intervene. God does not save Jerusalem. And so it was about the year 606 BC or BCE, before the Christian era, Jerusalem capitulated to the then crown prince of Babylon, a famous Babylonian king named Nebuchadnezzar. Jerusalem capitulates, agrees to become a vassal state within the Babylonian Empire. Nebuchadnezzar takes a few, not much, takes a few treasures from the temple in Jerusalem, and also takes a few of the elite back to Babylon as hostages. Daniel, the prophet, Daniel is one of those. Ezekiel, the priest, Ezekiel is another one of those hostages taken to Babylon. So that's about 606 BCE, before the Christian era. About 10 years later, Jerusalem rebels. The then king of Judah, the king of Jerusalem, aligns with the Egyptian rebellion. Nebuchadnezzar, who is now the king of the Babylonian Empire, comes and defeats the Egyptians in Egypt and then turns back and lays siege to Jerusalem. 597, King Nebuchadnezzar conquers Jerusalem, and at that time he takes the king of Jerusalem, plus about 10,000 of the elite people of Judah, plus much of the treasure from the Jerusalem temple, takes them and it all back to Babylon. Judah, the city of Jerusalem, is once again a vassal state within the Babylonian Empire. Well, about 10 years later, Jerusalem once again joins a rebellion against the Babylonian Empire. 587 BCE, the year 587 before the Christian era, Nebuchadnezzar destroys the city of Jerusalem, destroys the temple. He takes captive the king, a man named Zedekiah. Nebuchadnezzar also captures the king's sons and then has his son, Zedekiah's sons, executed, forcing Zedekiah to witness the destruction, the murder of his own sons. And that is the last thing Zedekiah sees, because after witnessing the execution of his sons, Zedekiah has his eyes put out and then is led into captivity in Babylon. Much, almost all of the population of Judah and Jerusalem is dispersed into captivity in the Babylonian Empire. Jerusalem is left destroyed and abandoned. It becomes a ruin. That is about the year 587. Years before that event occurs, about the year 600, 599 BCE, before the Christian era, Ezekiel experiences his second vision of God, about 13 months after his first vision that we looked at last week. Now, this second vision is very similar to the first. Ezekiel has a vision of the throne room of heaven, of God's throne room, but in this vision, Ezekiel is lifted up, is taken, becomes part of the vision. Ezekiel reports that he was lifted up by the hair of his head and lifted and carried, transported to the Jerusalem temple. More than a decade before the temple's destruction, Ezekiel is carried in the vision to the Jerusalem temple. Ezekiel witnesses in the temple the leaders and the people of Jerusalem doing detestable things in the temple. They are also ruling. The government is very violent. The culture has become very violent. Ezekiel claims there are dead bodies laying around everywhere. So today we turn our attention to Ezekiel's second vision that begins in Ezekiel chapter 8. But I want to focus on the promise that is a part of this destructive vision. Ezekiel chapter 11, verse 14. The word of the Lord came to me, "Son of man, the people of Jerusalem have said of your fellow exiles and all the other Israelites, they are far away from the Lord. This land was given to us as our possession. Therefore, say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Although I sent them far away among the nations and scattered them among the countries, yet for a little while I have been a sanctuary for them in the countries where they have gone. Therefore, say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. I will gather you from the nations and bring you back from the countries where you have been scattered, and I will give you back the land of Israel again. They will return to it and remove all its vile images and detestable idols. I will give them an undivided heart and put a new spirit in them. I will remove from them their heart of stone and give them a heart of flesh. Then they will follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. They will be my people, and I will be their God. But as for those whose hearts are devoted to their vile images and detestable gods, I will bring down on their own heads what they have done, declares the Sovereign Lord. Then the cherubim and the wheels beside them spread their wings, and the glory of the God of Israel was above them. The glory of the Lord went up from within the city and stopped above the mountain east of it. The Spirit lifted me up and brought me to the exiles in Babylonia in the vision given by the Spirit of God. Then the vision I had seen went up from me. Heavenly Father, in these next few minutes, we pray that Jesus alone might be exalted. The prophet of Ezekiel, identified by God as the watchman of Israel, Ezekiel prophesies the exiles living in Babylon, the Babylonian exiles, will return to Jerusalem. Ezekiel chapter 11, verse 15. The people of Jerusalem have said of your fellow exiles and all the other Israelites, they are far away from the Lord. This land was given to us as our possession. About the year 599 BCE, the then current occupants of Jerusalem and the land around Jerusalem called Judah claimed to be the rightful possessors of the promised land. They said the other exiles are far away from the Lord. They believed God was a God of a certain place. The then occupants of Jerusalem assumed, believed, that because God had left them in the promised land, they were the proper inheritance of God's promises. The then occupants of Jerusalem claimed to have earned Yahweh's promises regardless of their own activity, of their own obedience or disobedience. But Ezekiel reveals that God distances himself from disobedient people. Ezekiel chapter 8, verse 18. Ezekiel in his vision sees, then the glory of the Lord departed from over the threshold of the temple. That is the temple in Jerusalem. It is somewhat surprising to me when I hear Christians today identify the temple, the old temple in Jerusalem that was destroyed in 70 AD by the Romans, the temple as God's home on earth. This is an adaptation of the bad theology of the people occupying Israel in 599 BCE, the people condemned by the prophet Ezekiel. Ezekiel has a vision of the glory of the Lord leaving the temple, leaving Jerusalem. Yahweh, the God of the Bible, does not belong in any geographic place. He is the God of the whole earth, the God of the whole universe. Ezekiel's revelation documents that God distances himself from disobedient people. Today, consumer Christianity likes to claim Bible promises while clinging to their detestable idols. A surprising number of Christians today copy the actions of the people Ezekiel condemns. Consumer Christianity today claims that they are owed blessing by God while clinging to their detestable idols. What detestable idol might we be clinging to? Allow me to propose a detestable idol are Christians who go to their smartphones to get spiritual answers. Please understand, there is nothing wrong with using your smartphone to read scripture. There's nothing wrong with using your smartphone to get insights from various Bible teachers and other Christians. However, I want to propose to you that people who ask their smartphone to explain spiritual truth to them are in danger of making their smartphone a detestable idol. The way for you to discern spiritual truth is to spend time reading your Bible, to spend time praying about what you have read, to spend time talking with other reliable Christians of what you have read in God's Word. Now, admitted, such practices take time and energy and effort. We are tempted to say, well, I can just ask Siri. I can just ask Claude. I can just go to AI and put in what I need to know, and I will get God's truth back. You will not get God's truth back. You will be given what the high priests of Silicon Valley want you to believe. We are in danger of making the internet a detestable god. Ezekiel's prophecy revealed that those who rely upon idols shall be destroyed by God. Ezekiel's prophecy, Ezekiel's vision also reveals that God will always maintain a remnant. And to the people living in exile within Babylon in about 600 BCE, Ezekiel had this great promise, a remnant would return out of Babylon, return to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple and rebuild the city. Now that was a wonderful prophecy for the people of Israel living in exile in Babylon. But here's the real promise of this prophecy. Yahweh would remove their heart of stone. Ezekiel chapter 11, verse 19, God says, I will give them an undivided heart and put a new spirit in them. I will remove from them their heart of stone and give them a heart of flesh. It would be about the year 536 BCE. That's some 60 years after Ezekiel's prophecy we're looking at right now, that the exiles were allowed to leave Babylon, return to Jerusalem. King Cyrus of Persia had overthrown the Babylonian Empire, and part of Cyrus' policy was to allow the people to return to their own land and practice their own religion. And so Cyrus, king of Persia, authorized the people of Israel, those that wanted to return back to Judah, return back to the promised land, return back to Jerusalem, rebuild their city, and rebuild their temple. 60 years before that happened, Ezekiel prophesied that it would happen. Chapter 11, verse 18 of Ezekiel, God says, they will return to Jerusalem and remove all its vile images and detestable idols. Much later in the book of Ezekiel, actually in chapter 36, the prophet also foresees a time when the people of Israel from throughout the world would return to the promised land. Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 26 through 28, God is speaking, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. Sounds just like Ezekiel chapter 11. Then goes on, and I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. Then you will live in the land I gave your ancestors. You will be my people. I will be your God. Ezekiel, about the year 599 BCE, foretells, prophesies, predicts the return of the people of Israel to the land of Israel. That's a marvelous prophecy that we have seen fulfilled in our lifetimes. But there's a much greater hope that God gives through the prophet Ezekiel. Ezekiel promises a new spirit. Ezekiel chapter 11, verses 19 and 20, God is speaking, "I will give them an undivided heart and put a new spirit in them. I will remove from them their heart of stone and give them a heart of flesh. Then they will follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. They will be my people. I will be their God." Now, in fact, this prophecy was not fulfilled 60 years later when the exiles were allowed to return to Jerusalem and rebuild the temple. Yes, they rebuilt the temple and they deleted all the detestable idols, but they did not receive that new spirit from God. The Holy Spirit, the promise of a new spirit, came on the day of Pentecost, about 40 days after Jesus' death and resurrection. On that day, the Apostle Peter preached that the new spirit prophesied by Ezekiel was now available. Acts chapter 2, verses 38, 39, Peter is speaking. He calls on the people of Israel, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." This new spirit that Ezekiel prophesied, this new spirit that Peter proclaimed, is a faith thing. It's not an ethnic thing. God promises to give those who repent and believe a new spirit, an undivided heart. And Ezekiel promises, Ezekiel chapter 11, verse 20, "They will be my people, and I will be their God."